Join us as we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
Ladies and gents, here we are. Just another hoorah, funny episode talking about a comedian and all-around amazing dude. Back with me is comic book creator Lindsay G. How are you?
Hello there. I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Ain't no mountain high enough.
Well, hey, it's I don't know if I'm allowed to say this because I don't know when this is going to come out, but it's March now, which means it's spring, so yes. You know, we made it through the winter. We're getting there.
Survived.
So far, fingers crossed, knock on wood, etc.
Knock on wood. Yeah. Oh man. So we have a very fascinating person to discuss, and it's all the more interesting in that basically we got someone who just kind of varies by crowd, but overall kind of just people light up when they know this person is kind of being involved, because they're like, what won't he be in? You know, it kind of has that mentality in a weird way.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I had no idea, but Jack Black, apparently I had heard of Jablinski Games, but apparently, yeah, he has his own YouTube channel. But yeah, people mainly know him for being a comedic performer, actor, and singer.
Singer all around. Comedic, talented powerhouse, I would say.
Totally. And much like Sarah Silverman, I see some people, they make it their mission to hate the person, but most people generally kind of consider him a pretty cool comedian. And mm-hmm. like Sarah, I mean, you never know what kind of movie he's going to be in. It's like, and there's something for everyone. He can be in a movie your kid can watch, and then he can do one where he's not dialed back. He's going all raunchy and everything that's for the R-rated yeah. crowd. And then there's one in between. I think when he gets to Be Kind Rewind or even The Holiday and even bit parts like in Anchorman, as well as movies where he's mm-hmm. carrying the film like School of Rock, I think he got to that point where he's like, okay, now Hollywood knows how to use him after years of him just making cameos and slasher
yeah,
films.
Bouncing around, right.
Sci-fi blockbusters like Waterworld and Demolition Man. And then I had a pal who was always rediscovering just cult movies. Like he was into all kinds of crazy stuff. And when he saw Enemy of the State and one of the I Know What You Did Last Summer sequels and even the yeah. Jackal, he's like, hey, Jack Black's in these. And then he saw Mars Attacks, he's like, I forgot he was in that. Nice.
Oh my god, I actually did too.
The Cable Guy, he's one of the friends, he's like, dude, this weirdo you invite, he's disturbing us.
yeah he used to just like bounce around. It's kind of funny, like I feel like some of the roles that he did early in his career, you know, or like he was a character actor, right? And he was always like kind of in the background, but he was one of the people that you remembered after the movie was over. It's kind of funny because I've had this theory for a while. I think somebody said it to me a long time ago and I've been sort of tracking it since, which is that Brad Pitt is actually a character actor. And he
That's a good
shines
way of putting it.
Yeah, he shines the most in like weird little bit parts. where he's just in the movie for 5 minutes and then you remember him forever afterward because he's such a weirdo.
Oh, so true. Because you hear all these stories about people who you either love or you adore who are just a bastard behind the scenes in that they're telling their agent and they're just basically the people marketing them how to do their job. And that can be very underwhelming when it's like, hey, dude, you're a talented person, but you need to stay in your zone. So it is interesting when the right people basically just go with the flow. It's like, this is what the market's like right now. And this is where I got to be to go to the next stage of my career.
Right. Well, and it's interesting because, like, I mean, that's what Brad Pitt was for a long time. Like, what was his breakout role? Like Thelma and Louise, where he was literally eye candy? Like,
totally. And then you get all these other cult movies he did, like Eric at the Mall and California, where he's like, wow, he was in that? So, yeah, it is an interesting predicament when he did.
Yeah. Thelma or True Romance.
Yes, True Romance.
But to bring this back to Jack Black, I think it's really interesting how you have these two guys who really both kind of did that, like, I mean, Jack Black was much more in, like, the horror realm, but they both were kind of that guy that, like, showed up in the background a bunch, and then you walk away from the movie, and you remember that guy. And clearly, you know, Brad Pitt, the way that he looks, ended up being, you know, an A-list leading man in Hollywood, even though, like, most of the films that he stars in, you're kind of like, eh. It could have been better. I think he's more of a character actor than leading
man. I do the same thing with Oscar Isaac and Idris Elba, where I'm like, you
don't
deserve this movie. I know it's going to be shit just based off the description, the trailer, and sure enough, with flops. And I'm like, I'm really not surprised. I just find Hollywood too predictable. And just seeing what market we are in now, where virtually everyone has to be in like 2 to 5 projects a year just to make their rent, regardless of how many millions they have. But it's basically actors are professional gamblers and to some extent, where it's like,
that's a good point. Yeah.
They have to, you know, they have to do 2 indie films or festival movies, and then they got to be like a bit part in some giant, you know, mega million-dollar blockbuster. And it doesn't matter if it's hot shit or not. It's just like, well, it is what it is. And I think Jack is definitely much to the Pit standard, where it's like, I just got to be the best part of every movie. Let everyone else do their fucking job. You know, just don't worry about whether it works or not. There's even movies where you forget that he's in just because he plays it so straight face, like even the King Kong remake or even goofier films. But I mean, he's done some voiceovers I didn't even realize he was in, like, Shark Tale and Ice Age, and I've seen those before.
Yeah, I just saw the Ice Age mention, and I was like, what?
And all the time, I've seen him many times, and I never, you know, usually there's some voice, it's like, I know instantly when someone's credited. It's like, even a movie, I forget that they're in, or I only found out years later, and to this day, who did he play?
Yeah, but it's wild, too, how, like, he followed a similar trajectory, like, in a way, to Brad Pitt, right? Where, like, he went from doing the bit parts to becoming a leading man, where, you know, now he's had the lead in several, like, big deal movies, some of which were comedic and some of which not so much. But because he doesn't have the Brad Pitt look, I would argue that that's a lot that has to do with it. Also, his comedic chops, obviously. But, like, he really gets to play so many different kinds of roles. He's not, like, locked into A-list behavior or roles at all, and he gets to, like, seemingly have a ton of fun with his career, and I think that's kind of awesome.
Like, yeah, when I saw who he was married to and everything, you know, it all even made sense to me too, in that it just I had a screenwriting professor, Kyle Smith, shout out to you, buddy. You really were an inspiration to me growing up. But he was a PA on Bernie, which is often argued as, like, one of his best roles, where he played the guy who just, you know, went postal caring for an elderly elite gal. And he talked about how he really was a cool-ass dude, in that he just knew how to shift. You know, he isn't one of those actors who just stays in character the whole time. Nothing against that, but sometimes you just need a fair warning. But he was also one of those, is like, he could just have a very casual conversation, and he just somehow knows how to interpret what mood everyone's in. Like, I've never heard anyone of saying, oh, he overstayed his welcome, he was drunk one night at an awards show, or he was caught with his pants down or anything. You know, he just seems
Oh my God. Please keep it that way. Please, like, whatever gods are listening, let Jack Black stay pure. Please.
Never heard anything about him even taking a scene too far or outstaying his welcome. It seems like, and I found it even funnier. I think the last thing I saw him in, he was guesting on Conan and he had somehow injured his leg on another movie, and he still gave so much energy just doing that guest spot. And they're like, okay, so we can't do the comedic stunt gag we were gonna do when you came on here, so what else you got for us? And and he still was very funny, bringing the same amount of energy. He had just gotten off a plane ride, he has no business doing any of this, and he just gave it all. He delivered a hysterical song and it killed everyone. It's just guffawing right in their pants at the song that he is singing. It's like, well, that's a great compromise. He's a multi-talented dude.
That's the thing. I think, like, the thing about Jack Black that makes him stand out for me, because I'm, like, I'm a big theater geek. Like, I grew up on musical theater and stuff.
Oh, totally.
And he's a consummate performer. Like, he's an actor, he's a comedian, he's a singer, he's a songwriter. Like, he does so much that you can tell he's one of those people that just lights up when he is in front of people or a camera. Like, that is his happy place. And I think it really comes through in his performances. There's this, like, joy in it that whether he's doing, like, the raunchiest skit you have ever seen in your life on, like, the Tenacious D show back in the day.
Kyle, you know, could you one time kick it? What the fuck?
Right? Like, and he does. He goes so... The Tenacious D especially goes so nasty. But then, you know, he can also do, like, Kung Fu Panda, and it's, like, the purest, sweetest thing that you've ever seen. And I really think that there's a certain kind of energy that he has that is really pure and really innocent, that's just like,
let me
entertain you.
When I saw him in Kung Fu Panda, I was like, now I want to see him in a legit live-action Kung Fu movie.
Okay, here's my bid. All right, Jack Black, if you're out there and you're listening, I've been saying this since Tenacious D, okay, because I didn't know about how he could sing before Tenacious D. This man needs to be on Broadway. Why did he, well, it was probably contracts. I'm assuming that the only reason he wasn't in the School of Rock musical on Broadway is some contract issue, or maybe he was filming something somewhere. I don't know. But
he probably wasn't involved, and he found out afterwards. I don't know.
I don't know, because, I mean, he clearly has the talent and the skill, which I would say is, like, you know, you've worked hard on your talents, you developed your skill to be a leading man to sing. We've seen him perform. We know he can dance. He's got, like, he's the full package. Why is he not on Broadway? He could, oh my God, if they put him in The Music Man, which is on Broadway right now with Hugh Jackman, I would drop everything to go see him in The Music Man. Like,
1,000%. I wanted to see Tenacious D in concert a few times and never worked out. I was always pissed every time. I'm like,
yeah, they're coming to, like, within 10 hours driving distance of me this spring, and I'm really considering going.
Well, and you hear how he was in this extremely micro-budget movie and took a total pay cut called Unexpected Race. It was just a weird fantasy indie film, and he just plays a sheriff in it. And he only knew the guy because he had that director had worked with the guy who did Nacho Libre with him. And he's just like, sure, I'll help out the little guy. And it's like, how cool, you know, because there's so many other people. They don't mean it personally, but is like, I refuse to work at this kind of project. I've been there. Don't want to relive that. And, you know, everyone's different. Some people will gladly, you know, pull an Eric Roberts into the whole, okay, two professional TV appearances, and then the rest, whatever you got, I'll do. Web series, you know, no budget movie that you pay me for, sure, I'll do it. You know?
I would love to see that too, because he has such an outsized personality and his performance style is so big. I mean, like you said, he can really kind of blend in when he wants to, but I think when he's really shining, like, he can kind of outperform anybody. It'd be really interesting to see him in, like, a smaller little... Yeah.
Are you ever really surprised that he did? Like, he did this indie film called Bong Water, and then he did R.L. Stine's Goosebumps Update. And I was like, yeah, sure. That absolutely makes sense.
It all fits in, yeah. Yeah.
And movies that didn't work, like, I never held it against them. Gulliver's Travel or D-Train, too stupid for their own good. But nothing against them. It is what it is. And I think when he got to even Tropic Thunder, I think when he got there, it just, even the movie within the movie segment where they're doing the fake trailers, I think that made me realize, is like, in fact, I remember we saw that on home video back in the day. And obviously it was interesting. You know, my mother was too, you know, horrified by the kind of language, even though she got the joke. And the rest of us were like, you know, we kind of feel like he's the best part of this. Don't get me wrong. Tom Cruise,
that was pretty
crazy asshole in real life, but pretty good there. And it's like, but something about just Jack. I mean, that's a loaded cast. Robert Downey, Danny McBride. I don't think
there's
any female roles in that, unfortunately. But it's not like, really. It was just one of those where it was like, you know, something about this with just the way he's approaching it. I mean, yes, everyone often talks about Robert Downey in a role, which is making fun of just actors who take their roles too far. I always thought it was funny how just Jack is basically just a comedian who just, you know, his career is in the dump. Is like, that's just so funny because that's easily where his career could have gone. Somehow he's just never had this dark place. And I think it helped that he was part of many comedy troupes. He did a bunch of indie films with his best friend, Tim Robbins. And that's kind of how he got into the film scene in between doing some bit parts for Bruckheimer, Tony Scott Productions, and other movies that we've come to remember. Oh, that's right, he is in that. So, any movie that he's even in, I don't even mind rewatching again, because generally, like you say, it's a pretty agreeable resume and it's just so unpredictable. It's kind of critical, but like when he got to A High Fidelity, we're just, again, he's just playing one of the clerks in a video store. It's and again, complimenting that with his Tenacious D touring and HBO show. And my pal Darren Wilson, even he met when he was an independent rocker, met Kyle at a party years ago, Kyle Gass, Jack's partner in crime, and said, again, much like Jack, just a very personable guy, know how to channel all these different personas. And it's just a total rarity, because this is an industry where you really can kind of have a meltdown once in a while. And if it's caught on tape, then you got to take, you know, a break from before you face the music again, no pun intended. And so, I think, like you say, I mean, it's just, he's a adaptable person. And I'm really not even all that surprised when I see what he's attached to. Like, he's doing a Borderlands adaptation. I went when he was announced for the animated Super Mario Brothers movie and he was playing Bowser. It was like, that absolutely makes sense. That's actually kind of who I secretly pictured all these years. Of course it's fucking Jack
Black. Right? He's going to be so good. I can't wait for that. Like, the rest of the movie, I'm like, but
it doesn't matter. Yeah, Chris Pratt, don't care. Charlie kind of makes sense, but not really who I go to see a movie for. Seth, who cares? Is like, Jack as Bowser, sign me up. Keegan Michael Jay as Toad, okay, sure.
Sure, whatever. Just give me Jack.
And Taylor Joy as Peach. Okay, that's cool. But again, you know, it's just Jack as, you know, is some inspired casting there. So obviously, someone did some kind of read through. It feels like more than just whoever the investors, you know, shoveled to the production company and said, that's the only reason you're getting this budget, you know? So, like you say, we are kind of in a time where we're predicting what's good stunt casting versus just overdone, you know, big budget movie, you know.
Well, so you've said that, you know, you've never heard about Jack Black like having a freak out or, you know, making an ass of himself or having a meltdown or anything, so I don't know how much stock you put in this, but I just looked up his astrological birth chart which is on the internet for some reason. He is a Virgo. So his sun sign is a Virgo, which generally means that this person is very work focused and very, almost persnickety. Like, things have to be right. And I found that a lot of people who are in performance, who are Virgos, are the kind of people that, like, they freaking nail it. Like, they are so focused. They're so, they're so focused on getting it right and making it perfect that their performances often come across as amazing. But Virgos are not known for their equanimity. So I kept looking. His moon is in Pisces, and his Mercury, let me see, what is that? Is that Libra? Yeah, and his Mercury is in Libra.
But I see why you could worry about that, because, yeah, it could easily be a Billy Joel type person.
Right.
It's like, you're amazing, but at the same time, you're too close to the material to where you don't know when to step back, or you hate it
right.
all.
So
now, as a result, you want to scratch it all, and everyone's like, no, no, no. We're onto something here. Don't throw it away.
What's really interesting here is that his rising sign is Cancer, and his moon sign is Pisces, which are both very deeply emotional water signs. And so have a Virgo who's persnickety, along with a Cancer who's like sort of jealously protective, and a Pisces who is like completely not on this planet all the time. And that could be a nightmare situation in a performer. But then, okay, I'm going deep here. He has four planets in his third house, which is communication. So he has super powered communication skills, and three of those four planets are in Libra, which is the most easygoing, let's get along, let me read the room and adapt my personality to what people need from me right now so that we can have the best time possible. So all of these things together mean to me, he's a person who feels really deeply and therefore can channel his performances into that Virgo perfectionism. But he's always aware of what he needs to be, what people need from him. And it helps him go with the flow and read the room and remain chill.
Oh, nice. Because yes. I mean, even when I've seen him cry, even when it's meant to be comedic, especially on shows what's it called? He was on The Office as that one guy within a movie crying at someone breaking out with him. He's also on Community and he gets his pants pulled out. But yeah, anytime he's crying, you know, it's meant to be funny. He's like, man, he's doing a pretty good job at being a believable crier. And so, yeah, that does make me, and I see him hugging people, but not in an awkward or creepy or stupid way. It's like, usually, it's really just adorable. It's like, yeah, I think that is kind of, this is it. Something must have just, you know, comedians are known to come from dark places. So I guess he must have just, you know, when he dropped out of high school and, you know, he comes from NASA people, I think he got enough just kind of strict restrictions as a kid to where he's like, hey, I don't like where I am, but I'm going to be who I am, and I know I could lose it anytime, anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way. And I think, yeah, he's just so grateful for anything. And he, at the same time, doesn't want to be one of those guys that you see on Celeb Rehab, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Drug addicted, yeah. On the street. And,
you know, he kind of strikes me as one of those people who's high on life all the time. I'm assuming that a lot of the videos, I'm not much of a YouTuber. I don't watch that much YouTube, but I'm addicted to Instagram and Instagram stories.
He has hysterical Instagram videos.
Oh my God. His Instagram is amazing. During the height of the COVID pandemic, his Instagram brought me life. It was basically him in his backyard, putting on ridiculous outfits and usually a Speedo and singing and dancing and putting together these short films of him fucking around as Captain America and Thor and stuff.
Yeah, for MTV. Yeah, it is
It was so much fun. And I was just he just seems to enjoy being him. You know, I hope that that's true.
Oh,
again,
totally.
Jack Black, if you're listening and there's a dark part to you that we're not seeing, I really hope that you're okay, because we need you.
1,000%, because he picked enough brains growing up, so I was never surprised when he was constantly working with Bob Odenkirk and Ben Stiller and even Conan. Yeah. So, but yeah, like you say, I mean, you see all his other guest spots on Will and Grace and X-Files and Picket Fences. Which just got put on Hulu finally, which is great. But
I didn't know that.
Any just outrageous role he's basically owned, because like you say, he is totally high on life and he is just glad to be part of an ensemble. Any other time that I've seen him pop up on Comedy Bang Bang or even Sesame Street, I'm not surprised that he's here. Everyone basically wants to work with him, and he's got a good work ethic. And like you say, they even did a video game where he was the star, a Brutal Legend. I don't know if you've ever seen promos for that, but it's I was never really surprised. Especially he was in a movie years ago called Airborne, which, you know, they were doing practically what freaking Tony Hawk was doing, where it was just like, okay. And I think that's just it. He had kind of the skateboarder attitude, just coast through life, just and embrace it, enjoy it, and don't overstay your welcome. You know when to go home and cook dinner.
yeah, for real.
Don't be late for dinner for that moment. I don't know if he has time to cook, but yeah.
He probably has a chef. I mean, judging mm-hmm. from the look of his backyard and pool situation, I'm guessing he has a chef.
Even the times where he's just made bizarre Adult Swim appearances, I remember obscurely just a weird promo for, like, they were making some newer Space Ghost episodes, and his promo for it was constantly featured. And I get fought because I'm like, yeah, he's to that point where whether he's playing himself or just performing as Tenacious D in some special for, like, charity or what have you, like you say, just a bit part, and, like, he's down for the count, and I think this is it. It's just, it goes a long way when you can get as someone who just really is able to concentrate and apply themselves without applying pressure on everyone else.
Yeah. I think that's a good way of saying it. So I actually just learned something about him while I was sort of like researching before we went on here. No, this is good stuff. Okay. So the reason that I know so much about astrology is because I have a very dear friend here in Montana who is actually like a career astrologer. And she's taught me a lot about like how to read somebody's birth chart. And one thing that she also taught me is that a lot of the time, the astrology affects your actual birth, like the situation surrounding your birth. And then that 100%. Can also have like consequences in your later life. So somebody mentioned to me that I should look up Jack Black's birth story. So I did. Have you heard about this?
Other than his NASA stuff, no, parents, no, okay. I don't know.
So yeah, his mom worked for NASA, all right? And she helped to create the, quote, abort guidance system, which rescued the Apollo 13 astronauts. So he was born during the Apollo 13 situation. And apparently this was actually written in his mother's obituary in 2016 by Jack Black's brother, Neil. So this is true. This is like straight from the horse's mouth. I'm just going to read what's written on the internet. She actually went to her office on the day that Jack was born. When it was time to go to the hospital, she took with her a computer printout of the problem she was working on. Later that day, she called her boss and told him that she had solved the problem. And, oh yes, the baby was born too. So literally, while Jack Black was being born, his mother was working on a computing mathematical problem for NASA to help get the Apollo 13 astronauts back to Earth.
Mm.
Is that wild? Like, okay, not only is she an amazing badass and like all hail his mother.
An unsung hero. And
right? But Jack Black was born in the middle of all that. Like,
right.
How wild is that? So like the idea that he is an outstanding performer who like shines in everything that he does, if you believe in, you know, your astrology affecting your birth and vice versa.
I totally do. I'm a Gemini.
All right. Hey, I'm an Aquarius. No wonder we get along so well. I love Geminis. I felt like I had to relate that because it's just about the most badass birth story I've ever heard.
You know, and that's a time where it's like, yeah, I can't give my full time to my kid. I kind of got the earth is shitting its pants. I got to help diffuse the situation. So, yeah, I mean, and I think this is it. I mean, he's just going to do his thing and say his piece, regardless of how much attention he's going to give. I guarantee you he's probably forgotten a bunch of roles that he's done. He's done some obscure TV movies that I definitely saw him in, like Blind Justice, and which was this Western. He just has like a walk-on scene, Marked for Murder, which is fun. He apparently plays a car thief. I somehow didn't see this movie, or I did, but I don't recall him in that. But he plays Sean.
I'm definitely getting like an image of him as basically the car thieves in Snatch. Like
that, or the biker Tyrone in Anchorman. So yeah, there you go, Tyrone. Imagine him in Snatch. That would have totally changed up the movie. I mean,
it was a tight spot.
Any movie he's been in, I mean, that's even been too dumb for him. Like, where it's, I wasn't crazy about the new Muppet movie, but it's so hysterical playing a comedic version of himself, playing an asshole producer. Right. And then even in Sex Tape, it's so hysterical as him as a sleazy porn producer. He's just, he.
I haven't seen that. I've got to see that.
It's outrageous. He was even in the show, which I still need to see, called The Brink, which was kind of a Dr. Strangelove kind of satire on the world going to shit. He's playing a foreign officer assigned to stop World War III from happening. And it seemed like, you know, any project he signs on to, he kind of knows how to kind of stand out differently instead of doing the same thing all again. People forget, I mean, it's kind of a cult hit now, as dumb as it is, but people took a while to embrace the Tenacious D movie. Like, it was in the can, filming completed in 02, not released till 4 years later, and then still, you know, just
bam. People got like angry about that movie.
They really do. And it's just like, you don't know how much of it is a generation thing. And he equated it to, it was kind of made for kind of a high audience, and if you weren't in the stoner crowd or familiar with them, you were instantly going to reject it. And
actually, that's a really good point.
And I'm not a stoner, but I had no issue. I embraced it. I ate that
shit. I thought it was great. Like, I mean, it was ridiculous, but like, hello, it's Tenacious D. Like, so, but that's an interesting point. It kind of makes me think about like when Tenacious D was real big, like right around, I guess, like 2000-ish, a little bit later than that. They were real big, you know, right around the turn of the millennium / century, I guess. And at that time, a lot of people who were around my age were really high because they were in college or, you know, right around then, high school, college. But then a few years later when the movie came out, probably not as high, probably working jobs, probably got some sour grapes because they're just not in the same headspace that they were. That makes sense. It's fine.
Oh, totally.
But the thing about Tenacious D is like, they fucking rock. I can't. I've always been a rock person, like, as my previous, our discussions about songs in the 90s has attested. I'm definitely a rock and roll person. I've never been much of a metal person. Like, I enjoy some metal, but I can't really, like, sustain listening to it.
Screaming, or you're like,
yeah,
okay,
sometimes it's just a little too much. Like, it's
too much.
But the thing about Tenacious D that really gets me, and again, this goes back to my, like, musical nerd roots, is Jack Black can fucking sing. And so, yeah, you get your metal, you get your yelling, you get your comedy, total ridiculousness. But when he really, like, gets going, like, songs like Wonder Boy, like, he has a beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's what does it. Like, I'd say that probably the metal band that I enjoy most is Tool, for the same reason. Maynard James Keenan can fucking sing, and I love listening to his voice.
Well, same thing with electronics. Some of us want mindless stuff, and some of us do want some actual lyrics mixed in with some very well-constructed beats. And the same thing with rap. It's like, I don't want just generic, you know, just music sampling followed by gunshots and, you know, people calling each other bitch. Yeah. I gotta have a little something that really stands out. Mm-hmm. Like you said.
Right. Well, I mean, rap is so much about like lyric smithing, which, you know, is awesome. It's not exactly my thing because I'm more of an aesthetic music listener. So like, I appreciate good lyrics, but I'm much more in it for just how it all sounds when it comes together. So when someone has a beautiful singing voice that really like takes me to another place, I'm in it. And that's why I'm like petitioning, maybe I should start a change.org petition to get Jack Black on Broadway. I wonder if I could make that happen.
Huh. You know, picking up brains, you know, is, you never know who will hire you.
You know, the world has had a shitty few years. I think it's time. We need this. Jack Black, please go on Broadway. Maybe I'll start a petition. We'll see what we can do.
Right. See if he takes notice and actually retweets it.
But like the other thing about Tenacious D, besides his singing voice, which I love, is like they're fucking they're just musically gifted people. I mean, Kyle Gass could play a guitar like nobody's business. And he does great backup vocals. And like they're amazing. They're like a genuinely amazing Grammy Award winning act.
Oh, and totally. I play Death Star all the time in my playlist. I love that song.
Oh, Wonder Boy and Fuck Her Gently. And
I would play that one too.
those are my go-tos. Well, some of my go-tos at karaoke.
Oh, nice. I remember one time he did sing it, I think, on, what was it? It was on one of those shows, mid-2000s, and he played that song, and he was cleaning it up, and he was having the crowd sing along with him.
How do you clean that song
Sometimes
up?
Sometimes you got to screw up. But it was just so funny. That's not right. It was hysterical to sing and play along, and I mean, I've seen Ben Folds do it, and I think they did a duet together somewhere along the way. So it's like, yeah, that's just it. Just like he and, you know, if you want Sarah or Silverman vulgar version versus very down-key and satirical and wacky, or playing an outrageous, likable idiot, you know, it's like, that's just it. They pick what skin you want to be in. Just give the memo. They'll do the homework, you know. They don't have to do the homework. It's second nature to them to do all these wacky personas and just have fun with it.
Yeah, and I mean, have you ever known people like that personally who just like can change into whatever character like at the drop of a hat?
I wish I could, and I think unfortunately, a lot of us as humans we're flawed, we're scared, we're fear-mongered, we're afraid of rejection. So a lot of us are just only comfortable just playing roles that aren't too hard to play. It's still taking a little work.
So actually, that makes me okay. I've been grandstanding a little bit, but I'm going to do it again. I have a bone to pick with the world. All right, world, everyone out there who's listening to this, I need you to take a moment. Think about this. All right, earlier I was talking about the similarities between Jack Black's career and Brad Pitt's career, and how because of their respective looks, Jack Black has not been pigeonholed into the same kind of work that Brad Pitt has ended up in. And I think that's great, honestly, because I like seeing Jack Black, you know, stretch and do all these different things. But I want everybody to, like, pull up a picture of Jack Black or a video or something. Take a good look at this man. Tell me he's not incredibly sexy. And if you say no, I don't believe you. Take another look, okay?
He's been my guy crush, but he's not, I don't know if everyone would be attracted to him, because
obviously people have their different tastes. Fair. Not everybody needs to be attracted to the same people.
He's
brilliant. He's talented. He's a professional. He's got all of these amazing things going for him. He's so funny, but he's also fucking attractive. And I think that he doesn't get recognized as an attractive man because he's heavier. And I think that's bullshit. I think it's bullshit. I've had a crush on Jack Black for so many years, and it's only like in the past year or two that I've heard literally anyone else mention that they think he's attractive. Like, I think that we're finally getting to a point like in pop culture where there's enough body acceptance and positivity for people who are different sizes that it's just barely starting to like trickle over into the male side of things. Like, we've worked so hard on trying to help women who are bigger feel better about themselves and not take all of the bullshit that society tells them, you know, about what their body's supposed to look like. We haven't really applied it to men so much, but I am starting to see more Jack Black appreciation, and I think that's good. And I think we should keep it going, because I think that Jack Black is sexy as hell. Dude, have you seen him dance? I mean, come on. Like, this guy is so amazing.
He really is good at that. Yeah.
Sexy. And like, okay, I get that he's a comedian and he doesn't usually put himself out there as like really sexy. Like in Tenacious D, they're always making like ridiculous sex jokes and stuff, but it's always done in a funny way. Makes sense. He's a comedian. That's fine. Nothing against that. But I just want the world to like take another look at Jack Black and be like, holy shit, this dude is hot as hell. And we should like make him the sexiest man of the year for People magazine or whatever. Like, I would just need to say that I think the fact that he is heavyset should not be holding him back from getting serious leading man roles if he wants them. And I don't know if he does, you know? He has done some more serious movies, like in Bernie, he was the lead and it was a more serious movie, but like and he hasn't done a whole lot of that, and maybe he's not interested in that. But all I'm saying is, like, people in Hollywood, if you are thinking about casting, like, a romantic lead, and you're looking for a guy, and Jack Black's interested, I think you should take him up on it, because I think he'd be really good at it, and I think there are a lot of people like me who would love to see that. So, all right, stepping off my soapbox.
No, that's a good question.
The hottie, 10 out of 10, could get some right here. I know he's married, but, you know, and I know a lot of people who feel the same way. We just don't say it because he's like, you know, the quote, fat, funny guy, and like, you're not supposed to be into him. But I am totally into Jack Black. Just saying. All right, I'm done. We can go back to our regularly scheduled program.
What does everyone want to do and how they want to be promoted as, and it's all the more wackier with how you don't know how much of it is just prejudice against comedians in general. Like,
mm-hmm.
like I've seen Mary Lynn, you know, be very serious. I've seen her be kind of attractive, and I've seen her even be just in general, just straight face, dramatic. So, I mean,
yeah,
it really does depend, I guess.
But like, I feel like because he is so able to do so many different things, like him being a sexy, like straight man, like romantic lead, why would he not be able to do that? He totally could do that. I think he just needs to be given the opportunity. Like, oh my God, I would watch him in like a Jane Austen period piece where he's the romantic interest. Like, oh my God, he would be the best Mr. Darcy. Oh, he would be so good. Because Mr. Darcy is kind of, like, funny and bumbling, and he could play that to a T in Pride and Prejudice. Like, and give him, like, an ascot and one of those, like, high collars and some, like, riding pants. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, boy. I should be writing fan fiction about this.
I mean,
I wonder if there's, like, a whole corner of the internet devoted to, like, Jack Black in Pride and Prejudice, like, fanfic. There probably is.
You never know, man.
Well, if it's not, if anyone out there who's listening is into writing fanfic, I've got some ideas for you. Hit me up.
go for it.
All right, I think I've hit all of my soapboxes.
It's all good. I'll have fun. We're all laughing. Oh, so where can we find you on the interwebs?
Well, right now I'm most active at my website, lynseyg.com. And I'm going to spell it because my name is spelled funny. It's lynseyg.com. I blog there, and I also, you know, just keep updates on all the things I'm publishing. You can also find me at oneshipress.com, which is my publishing company. It's oneshipress.com. We actually, I'm not sure when this is coming out, so I'm not sure if this will be in the... Well, I am doing a big comic book campaign coming up in April. So I don't know, this might come out after that, but if the comic book campaign is over by then you can probably look up the comic itself, which will be out after that.
Hopefully I'll link it in the whole thing. Yeah,
it's going to be for Tracy Queen, which is a graphic novel that I am creating about a woman who starts out as a gangster and ends up as a porn star. And it's a really awesome story about like finding yourself, and it's funny, mm-hmm. and there's cyborgs and a talking raccoon. So, you know, look it up.
That alone is awesome. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Now I'm thinking about who Jack Black could play in that story. I'm going to have to find a role for him. Oh. When it inevitably becomes a movie, he's got to be in it.
That's a good question.
You hear that, Hollywood? Inevitably.
She won't take no for an answer. Needs to be in your movie.
It's got to happen.
That's great.
Well, thank you so much for listening to me rant about Jack Black. This was very, I feel
I'm
better
glad
now.
Glad you could join the whole conversation. I'm looking forward to this.
We'll return after these messages.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, chin cough, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pott's disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Hey, I heard you like movies.
I heard you like to hustle.
I heard you like podcasts.
Well, guess what?
There's a podcast for you out there called The Home Video Hustle.
Damn right.
Every Friday, we talk about whatever movie PJ picks out the bag. What does that mean? Every Wednesday on our YouTube page, I put a bunch of movies in a bag, and PJ picks one out at random. And then we just watch it, and we talk about it for maybe like an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever we feel like doing, wherever the conversation leads us.
But do we actually talk about the movie?
Most of the time.
Ah.
Tangents galore.
Yes.
So believe me, we may be a movie podcast, but it's not always about movies. We might talk about video games.
Mm-hmm. Music. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the big one, music. Sometimes we might get a little bit of politicalness in there.
Yes.
Sometimes we may just, you know what we like to do? We like to tell stories, PJ.
Ah, yes.
I am the master storyteller of the podcast realm. Undefeated. So if you like to hear about movies, video games, whatever foolishness comes to our mind, the most random stuff you can think of, check out the Home Video Hustle. You can find us on the Stitchers.
Yes.
The Google Play.
Yes.
Apple Podcasts.
What else?
Podbean.
What else?
Podcast Addict.
Goddamn.
All that. Ain't no reason you can't get your hustle on. We everywhere. Worldwide, baby.
Hustle, motherfucker. Hustle.
Hey, we can't cuss in the promo, PJ.
Ah.
We gotta be family friendly. There may be podcasts out there that don't want his hair to say all that good fun stuff.
Well, you.
don't run the listeners away, PJ.
Ah, I'm sorry.
But this is going kind of long.
Yes.
So we'll end this and say, hey, check out the Home Video Hustle every Friday on all the various podcast outlets. Peace.
Peace.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. And while Witch didn't make it to the top of the world, he did make the Gangs of Hollywood podcast. So join the gang and enjoy a movie review podcast about movie gangs, gangsters, mobsters, and the mayhem they cause. You can find GOH Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. At GOHpod, at www.gohpod.com, as well as your favorite podcast listening app. And remember, say hello to your little friend for me.
If you take two old punk rockers who are past their prime, put them in front of a movie screen and give them a podcast, what do you get? Cinema Punks. Cinepunks. It's the mixtape of movies.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that.
Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
It's unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this, like, little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll, yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was going to be a rough
movie. How did
you
watch this shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Hey everybody, I'm Corey.
And I'm Zach, and we're the hosts of Podcasting After Dark, a cast dedicated to late-night horror and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, often found on HBO and Cinemax.
You know, the movies your parents didn't want you watching as a kid. You can find us every other week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher.
This is what you want.
This is what you get.
It's late, it's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh yeah.
Bana 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 out. Bana 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 out.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-last plot, holes are gratuitous movies. It's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
At EILFM.podbean.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Mac Jackson. I wanted to invite you to a new site called the Forever Adventure Network. This website has everything. Pictures, videos, blogs. There's original music by Harmony Constant. Two podcasts. One is the MacGyver podcast, where we celebrate Richard Dean Anderson, his iconic roles, and how it's influenced our lives. There's episode discussions, interviews, and life conversations. The second podcast is the Never Gets Old podcast, where we celebrate all the best things that we love in life, from TV, movies, music, and comics. The site is also the home for the MacGyver SG-1 audio series, an ongoing adventure series that continues the adventures of MacGyver and SG-1. There are also multiple stores to choose from for all of your pop culture and adventure needs. Come on by and check us out today. And thanks for joining the adventure.
We now continue with our program.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening.
It's a jacked up.